This episode of The Bell Tell Husband produced by our sister podcast, The Indo Daily.
Meet the Burkes, the evangelical family from Castlebar at the centre of much controversy.
Secondary school teacher Enoch Burke has been sent to Mountjoy Prison for breaching a High Court order. A County Westmeath school was granted an injunction preventing him from attending or attempting to teach while he was suspended.
The case of Enoch Burke has been making headlines for months now, and throughout he has been backed up by his family, many of whom themselves are not strangers to the courts.
Isaac and Enoch Burke and their sisters Kezia and Amy arriving at court with family members today. In 2014, all four were banned for life from active membership of NUI Galway student societies.
His lawyers have argued before the High Court that his exclusion from the calculated grades process is illogical, unreasonable, unjust and discriminatory.
Members of the Burke family have very set opinions on issues ranging from transgenderism to same-sex marriage, and they're not shy about expressing them.
The fact is, it's a complete cultural change that the LGBT community are looking for. I did mention a statistic there about the Netherlands. They're not even taking up same-sex marriage when it comes in, because it's about getting approval for your sexual behaviour.
I'm Kevin Doyle, and today on the Indo Daily, I'm joined by Shane Phelan, legal affairs editor of the Irish Independent, to look at the family behind the courtroom clashes and strong religious views.
She's very much the leader of the family, and indeed is no shrinking violet when it comes to taking on judges or coroners or anyone that she perceives is making decisions that she doesn't agree with.
Shane Phelan, the Burke family from Castlebar have been making headlines for several years now. Who are they?
They're a family of evangelical Christians from Castlebar in County Mayo. Parents are Sean and Martina. Sean's an electrician. Martina runs what's known as a Christian school. And they have 10 children, all with biblical names, and all of whom have been homeschooled by their mother.
Well, let's start with Martina, the matriarch of the family then, before we get into some of the children and their stories.
I did it because I took that responsibility as a Christian. I am responsible for my children. I'm responsible to train them in the way they should go, not to delegate that responsibility to anybody else, any other organization, school, state. It's my responsibility. And, you know, that's what I believed. A belief in God is very important.
Okay.
Because if we get rid of that, we've nothing left but the individual and the state becomes the God.
So Shane, clearly a woman with very strong held beliefs and values, and she has instilled that in all of her children.
She has, and I suppose one thing that has to be said is that they are all very academically bright and have gone on to academic achievements after being homeschooled by her. You know, in terms of, say, for example, debating competitions, getting PhDs, master's degrees and so on, they've all done very well in that sphere. But I suppose a lot of them have found themselves getting into controversy particularly because of their Christian views.
And so over the years, we've never actually heard from anyone who attended the Burke Christian School, but we know a lot of people in Mayo have attended there for grinds. Martina Burke has attended protests with her family. She's been very outspoken on things like LGBT training for school principals. She believes that's a moral and permissive framework that would stigmatise modesty and inhibitions. And so she does appear to be the driving force in many ways behind the beliefs of her children.
Yeah, and you can see that in the way that they interact with her in court. She's very much the leader of the family, and indeed is no shrinking violet when it comes to taking on judges or coroners or anyone that she perceives is making decisions that she doesn't agree with.
You've witnessed multiple times where she stood up from the body of the court and actually addressed the judge, which is, I presume, for someone like you who's in court a lot, a very unusual position for somebody to take.
Yeah, it's not normal. You don't really see it. I was in the Court of Appeal last October when she and her son Enoch were both ejected from the court on the orders of the judge. All very colourful, but serious at the same time. I suppose she made a completely unsubstantiated claim that that her son was in prison because of corrupt judges who denied their vow to uphold the Constitution. I've seen her address another judge in the High Court who she told, there is a higher judge that you and your fellow judges will stand before, and God Almighty will put this matter straight. That was also in her son Enoch's case.
So she's quite outspoken, but her husband Sean, he seems to be a bit more reserved. Is that fair to say?
Yes, definitely in terms of his appearance. He doesn't interject anywhere near the same level as his wife or other siblings have, or others of their siblings have in court. I can only recall one occasion where I heard him stand up to address a judge. That was last December, when it appeared that Enoch Burke was going to be spending Christmas in prison. Sean Burke stood up and he told the judge that Enoch is in prison because he would not give up his Christian belief, which I as a father brought him up to believe and which is consistent with the scriptures, the Bible that is on your bench from Genesis to Revelations, the male and the female. It is not some crazy belief he has. It is there as clear as crystal. So quite clear from those remarks, Kevin, that Sean Burke very much shares the same beliefs and value systems as his wife.
Now, much of your reporting on them has been highly controversial, and they have been through many courts at this stage in many different scenarios, but they have had some success in the court.
Yeah, I suppose most notably, there's two cases where there was a considerable degree of success. One of these involved one of the children, Isaac, a PhD, a mathematical student, and he won an action against NUI Galway over a delay in scheduling his final Viva exam, which had delayed his graduation and damaged his employment prospects. And he was awarded over 13,000 euros in the circuit court. There was also a case involving another one of the siblings. This was Elijah Burke, a Leaving Cert student who, like all his other siblings, was homeschooled by their mother. And he took a challenge against the Minister for Education when there was a decision to exclude him from the calculated grades process.
18-year-old Elijah Burke, along with his 9 siblings, has been educated entirely at home, taught by his mother, who's a registered teacher. He had intended doing his Leaving Cert this year and going on to college. His lawyers have argued before the High Court that his exclusion from the calculated grades process is illogical, unreasonable, unjust and discriminatory.
So this was basically where the Leaving Cert was effectively cancelled at all the school because of the COVID pandemic. The schools were all assigning grades. Teachers had to judge their own pupils. But this was more complicated in a homeschooling scenario because it's very obvious that a mother or a father would have a conflict of interest when it came to grading their own child's marks. And the Department of Education had basically not offered any solution to that problem.
That's right. And Elijah Burke claims that the exclusion of students such as him, who were tutored by a parent or a close relative at home, from the calculated grades process breached his rights, and that it was unfair and discriminatory, and that he was being punished for being homeschooled. And he won that case, and a solution had to be put in place.
He didn't just win. The judge, Mr. Justice Charles Meehan, actually described the whole situation as irrational, unreasonable and unlawful. So they had quite a big, significant win in the courts in that particular instance. But I suppose much of your reporting on the Burke family has been more controversial, if you like, than that. Tell me about the case of Amy Burke and Arthur Cox.
So Amy Burke, she's a qualified solicitor, and she was employed by Arthur Cox, one of the biggest law firms in Ireland. Things didn't end very well there. She ended up being dismissed. And it was basically claimed that there had been a breakdown in relationship between her and a number of senior partners. She was a junior associate in the firm's banking and finance division, And it emerged in various hearings that she was critical of a partner at the firm after she was left working until 2 a.m. while colleagues were out socializing. This case went to the Workplace Relations Commission, but it ended up getting dismissed. And the reason it was dismissed was not really to do with the merits of the case. It was because of sustained and deliberate obstruction and disruptions, and quoting the adjudicating officer there, by Amy Burke's mother, Martina. Quite extraordinary interventions by the mother, which basically led to the adjudicating officer saying, listen, I can't deal with this. I can't process this. I'm going to have to dismiss it. And then we're in a situation now where Amy Burke is judicially reviewing or seeking to judicially review the dismissal of that case. And that in turn has given rise to some clashes with judges in the High Court. There was one very colourful hearing in July of last year where she clashed with a judge, Marguerite Bulger, after the judge said that her challenge was not some sort of public interest case. Very, very fractious. Amy Burke repeatedly asked the judge to retract the statement, and the judge eventually ended the hearing, which was taking place online, by logging off. This was after warning Amy Burke several times to stop interrupting her and questioning her. I had never seen anything like that happen in an online hearing before, where a judge just basically pulled the plug on a hearing.
So Shane, what we've talked about there is homeschooling, employment law, stuff I suppose that is quite personal to the individuals, but the bigger part of the Burke story is perhaps around their beliefs and how that has now repeatedly landed members of the family in court. Tell me about the case against NUIG.
Isaac, Kezia, Ami and Enoch Burke were all members of what was known as the Christian Union Society, a student union society in NUI Galway, and they took a case against the university alleging discrimination. This was after the college banned them from societies. And the ban arose because of the distribution of leaflets using the college logo, which was against the college's code of conduct. And there was also an issue regarding the use of college funds to pay for the leaflets. And they ended up losing that legal challenge.
Now, when we were students at the university, we exercised our right to simply put up a Christian table, peacefully expressing our opposition to same-sex marriage. And we were threatened and abused and harassed by a mob of students. And a few months later, we were banned for life from all college societies.
That was Enoch Burke on Burke Broadcast, their own YouTube channel, explaining his position on that particular case, Shane, but as you say, it went against them.
It did, yeah. I mean, like the leaflets themselves were controversial in that, you know, these were flyers advocating against gay marriage, and it was said that these implicitly connected gay marriage with paedophilia and incest, and as you can imagine, that gave rise to complaints from some fellow students. They were also distributing leaflets seeking a no vote in a referendum advocating boycott, divestment, sanction of Israel. And this was in the context of dealings with the people of Palestine.
Now, the Burke family then became a familiar sight in Castlebar's Market Square during the pandemic, and they held a number of protests around, I suppose, their views on that. But there was a particular case, Shane, a tragic case of a girl called Sally Maz, which the family seemed to inject themselves into the centre of.
Yeah, look, some of those protests in the Market Square, there were alleged failings in treatment of patients at Mayo University Hospital during the COVID-19 pandemic. Sally Maz, a very tragic a young girl, a teenager who died after contracting COVID-19. Members of the Burke family attended the inquest into her death at Mayo Coroner's Court. Martina Burke was there with her children, Jemima and Josiah. After a verdict of death from natural causes was returned, the Burkes were reported to have heckled the coroner, Pat O'Connor, claiming the proceedings were a disgrace and that the Maas family had been deceived by Gardaí. At one point, their interventions left the late teenager's mother in tears. The coroner was perplexed by all of this. He said that the Burkes were a disgrace to the country.
I think it's important to point out that the Maas family had no part in this, in terms of they went along and further hearing as they should, of course. And the Burkes took this upon themselves to put forward this viewpoint they weren't invited to. And in fact, at an earlier stage, people might remember that Jemima Burke presented herself as a journalist at one of Tony Holohan, the then chief medical officer's daily press briefings on COVID-19, and actually questioned him about that.
If it is a case in relation to a child, this is not an appropriate thing to be doing. And generalising from...
It is very appropriate, Mr. Holohan. I'm asking you, for the sake of the general public, can you confirm to the public today,
And so, Shane, bring me on to the most recent stories, the one that have been dominating the headlines that I think at this stage you have spent hours and hours in courtrooms covering, the story of Enoch Burke and the school in Mullingar where he is currently an employee but not working.
Enoch Burke has been working at Wilson's Hospital School in Mullingar for 4 years. He's a history and German teacher and by all accounts was held in high regard. An issue arose last May. A transgender student and their parents had a meeting with the school principal at the time, Niamh McShane, and there was a request made that the child be called by a new name and that they and their pronouns be used in connection with them. Ms. McShane relayed this request to all the teachers in the school in an email. This provoked a response from Enoch Burke. Quite quickly, he basically stated he was completely opposed to doing so for various reasons. But the main one was that it was contrary to his religious beliefs. Things kind of blew up from there. There were a number of what have been described as public incidents. So Enoch Burke is said by the school to have interrupted a church service and asked the principal to withdraw this request. And then there was a dinner after it, after the church service, where Enoch Burke is said to have gone up to the principal at the time, Niamh McShane, and questioned her in a heated manner, and that on the school's account of things, people had to step between them to stop the questioning from continuing. Now, Enoch Burke disputes how those interventions have been characterised. He's claimed that he was at all times respectful and mild and meek is a phrase he's used to describe his interventions in those cases. But it perturbed the principal to the extent that she compiled a report on these various incidents and sent it to the Board of Management last August. The board subsequently decided Enoch Burke should be suspended on full pay pending the outcome of a disciplinary inquiry. Quite serious for him because could ultimately result in his dismissal. So naturally enough, when you're suspended, you're not supposed to go to work. But Enoch Burke kept turning up for work. The school then went to the High Court and said, look, we have this issue. And the High Court granted the school orders restraining Enoch Burke from turning up for work. But despite these orders, he continued to do so. And eventually he ended up in prison for contempt of court, where he spent 108 days last year.
108 days. I mean, in terms of contempt of court, I certainly can't remember a scenario where somebody spent that amount of time behind bars for something like this.
It's not unprecedented, Kevin, but it's definitely at the higher end of the scale.
Enoch Burke was released from Mountjoy Prison a short time ago after spending 3.5 months in jail. He had refused to participate in a hearing earlier to decide if he should be set free. To do so, he said, would be for him to agree that he was lawfully incarcerated.
He was eventually released just a couple of days before Christmas, and this was despite refusing to purge his contempt. But the judge who was handling the issue basically came to the view that Enoch Burke was deriving some sort of advantage from being in prison. And he said that couldn't be tolerated. And he also made reference to the cost involved in keeping him in prison while he's also his salary is also being paid by the taxpayer, despite the fact that he's not working.
So he released him for Christmas, and then Enoch Burke showed up again at the school in January after it reopened after the holidays.
Yeah, like the judge released him, kind of sent him away with a flea in his ear, saying, "Look, you will be at liberty as long as you don't, breach any court orders again." And January 5th came around, the school opened up again, and Enoch Burke turned up. And we've heard in court subsequently that he was basically told to leave. He refused to leave. That he was left standing in a corridor, which was ultimately cordoned off. And that the principal had to set up a workstation in the corridor to, quote, keep an eye on Enoch Burke during the school day and to minimise disruption. The school has not sought to have him jailed again because of this, but it's gone down another legal route, and that is to, it's looking to sequester his assets. What that involves is basically that his assets are basically moved into the school's possession. Now, they can't sell them or do anything without any order of the court, but it's designed to be coercive, so that if your assets are controlled by the moving party here, that that you will, you know, say, "Well, look, I'd like to get my assets back," and that will coerce you into complying.
Now, it's worth saying we don't know, presumably, what assets Enoch Burke has other than presumably his salary.
Yeah, and this was something he was asked about by a judge. He was asked to what salary he had. Enoch Burke had made reference himself to doing grinds and paying tax on the money he earned from grinds. But he refused to answer those questions. A lawyer for the school said the Department of Education wouldn't tell them, for GDPR reasons, what the salary was. But the school believed that it's somewhere in the region of 48,000 before tax.
So, Shane, that court case will continue, and we'll have to see where that goes. And I suspect we'll be back in this studio again at some point in the future to go through whatever way it finishes up. But I just wanted to make one point or ask one question. I assume in all of this that the school has a team of lawyers that come with a hefty bill for every time they have to appear in the High Court, whereas the Burkes are generally representing themselves.
Yes, but where this will, I suppose, bottom out in terms of who pays for what will be who ultimately succeeds. And the school so far in the various motions, where it has come out on top, has sought its costs. At the end of the day, if Enoch Burke ends up losing in all of this, he could be looking at a fairly hefty legal bill that he'll have to pay for the other side.
My thanks to Shane Phelan for joining me today. I'm Kevin Doyle, and today's episode of the Indo Daily was produced by Mary Carroll, research by Tabitha Monaghan, with recording by Gavin Hennessy, and sound design by Dara Kelly. Archive clips were from the Burke broadcast with important legal update, Burke's v NUI Galway, Northwest Today on Ocean FM, The Tommy Maron Show on Midwest Radio, RTE 61 News on RTE 1 Television, Virgin Media News on Virgin Media 1, and independent.ie. If you want to hear more of our award-winning journalism, you can visit independent.ie or wherever you get your podcasts.